This is the Kinky Cast. This is an adult, sexually explicit podcast. If you are under 18 years old, please stop the podcast now. This is episode 79 of our weekly exploration in the kinky world of BDSM and alternative relationships. Views expressed are not representative of the management of the Kinky Cast. We continue with the legal system with Lady Steel. And now back to Woody and the Beast.
Thanks, Max, and welcome to part B of a very special show on the legal side of BDSM.
Listeners, we're here with Lady Steel from Atlanta, and we just finished up part A segment. I hope you listened to that. It's very informative about traffic stops and having parties at your home. And now we're going to move into our second segment of this very informative and important information with Lady Steel. Welcome again, Lady Steel.
Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you for having me back. May I do my homework one more time?
You may.
Thank you very much. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Sarah Overham, and I am an attorney licensed to practice in the state of Georgia. Yes, Sarah Overham, a.k.a. Lady Steel. And everything that I'm going to say tonight, that these gentlemen may say tonight, is not to be construed as legal advice. I am an attorney, but I'm not here practicing law tonight. I'm just talking about the law. I'm not giving any sort of legal advice. And if you do have a case that you need to get some help on, then please consult a competent attorney in your own jurisdiction about the facts and issues in your own case. If you happen to be in Georgia, give me a call, or anywhere else for that matter. You never know. I might be willing to travel. But yeah, please consult an attorney. Do not take anything that's said on here as actual legal advice, although it has been a wonderful, rip-roaring, delicious discussion so far.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We've already had our car accosted by the police. And we have denied them the ability to search our car, or denied them the consent to search our car. Let's put it like that. We've denied them the consent to search our car. So we're on our merry way. We've been to our first stop of the evening, a lovely house party, and it got a little loud, and the police got called. But the police managed to not get inside and embarrass anybody. But the vibe is kind of off now, so we're moving on to a dungeon.
See, I'm so glad you took notes. I'm very glad that you paid attention to what I said in the beginning. That's super awesome. yes, we've had our car searched. We've had our toy bag looked at. Hopefully not searched if you follow my advice. And you've had a house party. You've hosted a house party. And you've attended a house party. And by the way, for those of you who were listening in the first segment, or even if you weren't, the same rules apply whether or not you're throwing a house party or whether or not you're just having play between yourself and a private partner as far as letting the police in, what it is they'll be looking for, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm actually going to get into more detail in regards to what happens if the police actually do see you whenever I start talking about the hotel in the last part of this segment. But as far as being in a public dungeon, if you listen to the first segment, spoiler alert. See, I was trying to be clever. Spoiler alert. You might have a preview as far as what I'm going to say here. Being an attendee at a public dungeon, even if it's privately held, meaning a privately held company where you have to sign the liability waiver before you walk in, and the "we will not be held responsible if you're hung out to dry by the police" waiver and all this, whenever
and you probably have paid money at the door and exactly. All those things.
But you know, the same rules apply if you're an attendee at the house party that we were talking about. And gentlemen, I'm going to quiz you real quick. Do you remember what I said your responsibilities are?
Obey the house rules.
And? Aha! Gotcha. Obey the house rules is what I said, which was, you know, if somebody tells you, like our local dungeon here, 1763, shameless plug for my dungeon here in Atlanta. No, she's not paying me for that.
And it's a fine facility, and I love it. Some of their PlayStations are very unique.
Absolutely, absolutely. But yeah, Ms. Whip is not paying me to promote the dungeon. I'm just using it as an example. There is a smoking porch on the outside, and it is walled up with several different pieces of wood and all this other stuff. I will not say what sort of wonderful, deliciously vulgar things I've done on that porch, but again, I'm completely transparent. I don't care. But if you do care, you know, you might want to practice a little bit of common sense. doing something that, you know, is silent, like perhaps, you know, some rope scenes, you know, you can do that relatively quietly versus, you know, a bullwhip, which makes one hell of a very distinct noise every time you crack it. Yeah, you might not want to do that on the outside because that might draw attention.
A distinct noise that somebody could argue was a gunshot.
Yeah. You know, that would not be very good. So, you know, again, use common sense. There are certain, so the house rules, you know, well, you know, I'll give you the house rules of 1763. They don't allow the stomping of testicles. They don't allow gunplay. They don't allow breath play. Because that's a certain level of liability they're absolutely not willing to uphold. And I actually was speaking to someone today, about how a gentleman went to the dungeon last weekend and he was doing breath play because he was from New York and that's just what they're used to being able to do. And the DMs called the scene and said, yeah, we don't allow that here. We're not going to kick you out because you're new and you didn't know. But yeah, we don't do that anymore. Or I don't think they ever did, but we don't do that here. So listen to the house rules. They are there to help you, especially if you're in a private dungeon or in a public dungeon, private or public for that matter. But like, you know, at the private house party, you know, the host may not be as savvy as, say, the owner of a dungeon might be. So once the, you know, the owner of the dungeon, they probably know their, you know, their stuff. They're there for a reason. They have the liability waivers. I am betting 100% of them has consulted an attorney at one point in time or another, or at least an officer of the law. And so listen to the house rules are there for the reason. Now
the 1763, I have to make sure I heard one of those rules. No stomping of testicles?
No stomping of testicles. CBT is allowed, but the stomping of the testicles can cause torsion, which can be an irreparable harm that they do not wish to have possible liability for allowing on their premises.
And I cross my legs and hide my junk. And first time I've heard that rule. Okay. Anyway.
Then the audience are like, okay, you know what? I am perfectly all right with that. Of course, then there are those that go, oh, shucks. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the gunplay, the breath play and all that, you know, yeah, I can kind of see why.
Yeah.
And if you're going to have blood play, they want to make sure that you're in certain areas, you know, again, liability purposes. And the rules are there for a reason. And if you want to continue having happy fun time in somebody else's home, which is the equivalent of what you're in somebody else's living room, then you have to obey by their rules. I mean, that's all there is to it. The other thing that I outlined in the last segment for the home parties, which also apply to the dungeon, is whoever is going to be naked needs to have a covering from their neck to their foot and to their wrists in the event that police officers do come in and start looking around. You don't want to have whip marks on your back, or in my particular case, we're into blood play and vampirism, you know, cuts all over my body and blood running and not being able to cover it up because, you know, that might cause a couple of questions. And while I know how to handle the questions, that doesn't mean I want to submit myself and my master and whoever else may be playing with us to those sorts of questions.
And considering you might be the bottom in that, you may not be the most believable, most credible source of information at that point.
Well, and if you get like me, you may not be all that verbal, depending on at what stage of the scene you came in on. So, yeah, you want to be able to be covered. You know, yeah, it could be a blanket. The best thing is a bathrobe. You know, something that looks like that, you know, you're kind of hanging out, you know, and that you're not hanging, well, everything out.
So keep the rope handy and follow the dungeon rules.
Absolutely.
And what about what the police do knock? And I think every dungeon at some point has had the police or EMS or somebody through the doors for a legitimate reason. What should the partygoers do? Just cover themselves and what?
Right. If you're not the ones that are involved in the reason as to why they are there, notice how I phrase that. So if like somebody has a heart attack and the EMS has been called, or there's some sort of strange assault and battery, like true assault and battery, or somebody breaks out in a fight, you know, one dom goes over and touches another one, someone wasn't supposed to, they get into fisticuffs. That happens. And, you know, if it can't be settled there, maybe the cops have to be called. Stay out of it. Shut your mouth and mind your own business. Silence really is the better part of valor in a situation like this. Keep yourself covered. Be really casual. You're just hanging out. I'll tell you what the dungeon in Dallas, Texas uses as their business model and what they tell the police whenever the police come. And I loved this, by the way. It was absolutely brilliant because I was working with the owner of the dungeon out there on a couple of legal matters whenever I lived there. And that was, we're an art museum. These are pieces of art that are functional for certain things, and our customers want to come in and observe and, you know, hang out on them and use them as furniture, whatever the case may be, to see if it fits their needs. You know, something else that I like to use as an excuse these days, oh, we're just a 50 Shades of Grey fan club. I know everybody is going to moan, oh my God, the book's horrible, the movie's horrible. We all know this.
But it's a cultural reference that
people get. I told people many years ago when the books came out and people were complaining, or people in the lifestyle were complaining about them. I said, God, I'm grateful for them. They're like, why? And I said, because one day I'm going to be standing in front of a jury saying, you know what? This woman has accused this man of raping, abusing, whatever the case may be. They actually were in a consensual relationship, a la Christian Grey and Anastasia. Isn't that her name? Steele?
Anastasia.
And then people will be able to go, oh, yeah, got it.
And you get to screen clips of the film before the for the jury?
You absolutely could. I mean, if people didn't know. But I'll give you another example of how this has affected real life. I am on a secret Facebook group. I won't disclose the name because we are secret. But it's a bunch of women sitting around talking about, you know, sex and men and, you know, women and, you know, whatever. And I'm very transparent as far as who and what I am on there. And there's a lot of women on there that are, which I personally was happy to see. But anyway, I digress. And they asked me to do a BDSM 101, little chat, little tutorial and all this. Of course, I was glad to oblige. And whenever I first started on that list and I told them, you know, I have a master and I'm his slave and et cetera, they were like, well, what exactly is that? I said, well, it's like 50 Shades of Grey, but a lot more real. And they're like, oh, so you know what? There's your cultural reference. And people are starting to understand it. I've used it in all sorts of vanilla ways. And while people go, oh, well, you know, I don't necessarily do that. But, you know, it's okay if other people do. Yes, because it's become part of the culture. And thank goodness. That's going to make my job a whole lot easier in the future. And it already has.
I have a question.
Yes.
In extreme power exchange relationships, the submissive takes a lot of cues from the top.
That is correct.
And sometimes has reached a point where they really are not very functional outside of the confines of their relationship settings.
Okay.
Now, when the police come knocking.
Let's say, for instance, you know, and God knows this has happened. I actually was an editor for a book that somebody here local is writing, and this was exactly what happened. You know, the woman was up on the cross. The man was doing, you know, what he was doing, and it was fabulous. And then she started to have a seizure. And what it ended up being is that I think she went into a diabetic coma or something. Cause, you know, she was burning a lot of sugars and all this other stuff. And she went into, you know, a slight diabetic coma, which means she was in a coma and she wasn't able to speak for herself. I'm going to actually step back that a little further and just say, let's say somebody has chest pains, you know, and the EMS has to be called. Now, the good news is that a lot of really good dungeons have EMSs on site. So no one has to be called. But let's just say, for example, that the EMSs need to be called. The dungeon people will always have, hopefully, someone there that is knowledgeable enough in the medical field that can determine whether or not it's safe for the person to be moved, which means they're moved to the social area where there's no dangerous-looking furniture around. However, if that is not possible and they have to come in where the dangerous dungeon furniture is, whenever the EMS is called, it is the dungeon monitors and the dungeon operators' responsibility to let everybody know this is happening so they can either leave if they want to immediately, or they can get clothed and go out on the smoking porch or into the social area in the kitchen or whatever the case may be if they don't want to be seen or if they want to hide in the bathroom. You know, they can do that. But I found this out at FrolicCon. There are different rules for responding to the police that there are responding to EMSs. Because it is my understanding now that in most states that EMSs, of course, are mandatory reporters for abuse. But also there is a certain amount of privilege that extends to speaking to the EMS because they are medical providers.
And there's the confidentiality involved in the what you tell them.
Absolutely. And so please be honest whenever it comes to speaking to the EMS. I mean, you don't have to describe the scene in all its bloody goriness, you know, glory, gory, well, that too, glory necessarily. But you do need to give them enough information to where they can do their job. If you're diabetic, let them know. If you had heart palpitations and you have high blood pressure, let them know. Feel free to tell the EMS whatever it is you would tell a potential play partner in regards to any medical conditions that you have. And again, you don't have to give big, super long, verbose answers, you know, but be truthful. You know, if there was ever a time to be truthful, my God, your healthcare providers, that's the time to be truthful. Now, they may end up feeling like they're obliged to report the abuse. And if that happens, then just like when any other government entity comes to your door, truthful, short, concise answers and be done with it. If the police come in, same thing then if it's your home. Try your best to keep them out of the more interesting areas. But if they come in, sit around, act like no big deal. We're a 50 Shades of Grey book club. We are art buyers and we're here looking at these pieces of furniture. You know, whatever it is that you want to call it, make it as vanilla as possible. Now, this kind of bleeds, we're kind of wrapping up as far as the dungeon is concerned, because this kind of bleeds into, again, pun, and to what you do if someone comes to your hotel room.
Okay, so we've had our car searched. We mm-hmm. have been through a medical emergency at the dungeon. Mm-hmm. The house party got a little too fun for us. And now we have found the perfect play partner, whether we brought them with us or we found them along the way, and we're headed for something a little more private.
And that would be the hotel. Now, here's the thing. You will see a lot of common themes and threads with everything that I'm telling you to do in all of these different circumstances. For example, when you're in, but there's also different levels of protection that we are afforded. Actually, while we've been sitting here, I've Googled a little bit on my phone in regards to Fourth Amendment search and seizure of your home. There's a lot of conflicting articles in regards to what's allowed and what's not. So again, we're just going to go ahead and keep on with the assumption that the Fourth Amendment, you know, is going to be at least somewhat substantial now and in the future. But if you are in your home, that is your castle, you are afforded the highest amount of protection privacy-wise there. On the opposite end of that spectrum is the dungeon, because that's somebody else's business, and hopefully, you know, they've set everything up as far as being a private club with all the licenses that are required. And if the police find that there's some sort of probable cause, they may end up searching your person in your bags. Again, if you can lock your bag, that's definitely a good thing. Now, a hotel is an interesting little hybrid of the two. The hotel, you are renting a room for a night as if you were renting an apartment, and you are afforded a certain amount of privacy protections, but the manager can always open the door and let the police in if that's what they decide needs to be done in order to protect the other tenants or the other renters of those hotel rooms. So always remember that. You get too raucous in a hotel room, you say or do too much, make too much noise, the manager can absolutely come in of his own accord or her own accord, and they can also allow the police in. So always remember that. Now, let's just say one-on-one. And just for, you know, ease of reference, we have a man, we have a woman, man's a dominant, woman's a submissive. You're doing the happy fun stuff in the hotel room. Things get a little too raucous. The police are called. They come to your door. Again, cover thyself. And the hotels are great for this, especially if you're staying in a nice one because they have the nice soft floofy robes. And cover yourself from neck to toe down to your wrist. Answer the door. Have the chain on the door or the chain equivalent. No, good evening, officer. How may I help you? Well, there's been a domestic disturbance call.
Oh.
And we need to speak to you. Now, at that point, I'm telling you right now, they're not going to wait for a warrant, especially if abuse is suspected. Go ahead and open the door and go out into the hallway if you can. Now, of course, whenever they're knocking on the door, best thing you can do, slip the toy bag under the bed. Which is why I tell people all the time, you know, a lot of people like to set out every toy from the toy bag that they're going to use in the scene to, you know, intimidation factor or for a mind fuck or whatever the case may be. Lovely concept. But remember, if you got to swipe all that stuff over the bed really quick, you might end up missing something. So let's just say you did everything right, got everything under the bed, you got on your robes. Come on in, officer. The first thing they're going to do is separate the two of you so that they will have, they're hoping they're going to get conflicting stories if the domestic violence call is true. So what they're looking for is similarity in the matching and the truthfulness and the veracity of the stories. So this is why it's important that both people know what to say. And if the police officer, you know, starts questioning you and, oh my gosh, what's going on here, you know, say, well, my husband, mate, boyfriend, person, you know, whatever the case may be, and I were having consensual, adult, rough sex. Because that covers most everything that what it is we do, especially if your robe doesn't cover, they accidentally see a mark, whatever the case may be. Absolutely let them know we were having adult, consensual, rough sex.
Very important four words there.
Exactly. Just like the, I don't consent to any searches, officer. Now, you can say that when you're in a hotel or anywhere else, but if they want to come in on a domestic, they're going to question you. And again, don't be a dick, you know, be as cooperative as possible. So I and my mate, partner, whomever, and you know, if you're in a triad, if you've got four or five people in there, all the stories need to be the same. Adult, consensual, kinky or rough, however you want to say it, sex. And if you see that their demeanor would be accepting to such things, or if you're in an area of the world that may be accepting to such things, you can say, a la 50 Shades of Grey. You know, that sort of thing. Now, what you may be doing at that point is setting yourself up for liability because, well, what they do in 50 Shades of Grey, just like everything that it is that we do, is illegal. It is assault. It is battery. It is illegal. So I might not even put in that last part unless, you know, the officer kind of gives you a knowing look like, oh, yeah, I know what's going on here. But especially if they're hard asses and you want to get out of this, you know, again, it's all about being truthful without admitting liability or without admitting any sort of criminal act. So that's why you say adult, meaning everybody's over the age of 18, consensual, meaning everybody's in agreement, kinky or rough, you know, whatever. And people kind of get the idea of what kinky sex is, sex. That is not illegal.
As long as there's no money exchange, it's perfectly legal.
Oh, yeah. Well, and you know, I have some interesting advice for people who, well, this is not legal advice, but an interesting discussion in regards to people who are pro doms or subs and those who patronize them. But that can either be for another discussion or later on.
That will be for later.
Okay. And yeah, you absolutely... Absolutely adult, consensual, kinky sex. And especially if the officers are a little shy, at that point they're going to go, oh, well, you know, okay, we're just going to kind of leave this alone, especially if both people are calm and polite and the stories match. In other words, it's a situation of nothing to see here, move along.
Okay. And they want to get this call over with and done and back to their donuts.
And less paperwork.
And less paperwork. Yes.
No trial, no reports to file. That's correct.
Yeah.
That's the goal.
Now, will the hotel have usually called you to complain about the noise beforehand?
And theoretically, yeah. But if it's something, you know, but think about this. Say you've got Mr. and Mrs. Nosy next door. Or Mr. and Mrs. Super, you know, conservative and all this next door. And they hear whoosh, of a woman.
A 911 call immediately.
911, and they skip over the hotel altogether. The hotel doesn't even know what's going on, especially if it's like a, you know, an actual motel instead of a hotel where you have to go through a lobby. And there's just like a door. And Mr. and Mrs. Nosy Conservative call and says, oh, well, in room 101 next door, you know, there's a man beating on a woman or something like that. Especially if it's a cheap hotel and the walls are thin. I mean, I like to be slapped with an open palm of a hand. That makes a sound. And I make a very specific sound after it. You know, and that is assault and battery and domestic violence because my husband and I are married. So by the exact letter of the law, yep, we violated the law. And if Mr. and Mrs. Conservative Nosy next door wants to get a call, you know, and call us, And that's exactly what's going to happen. And you know, by the way, that's another risk that you run. If you leave marks in places that cannot easily be covered without looking like you're wearing a ski mask. So if you're into the face slapping or something like that, something to consider. Adult, consensual, kinky sex.
But will some officers still want to... We have some domestic violence laws on the books that pretty much demand that somebody be arrested.
Oh, absolutely. They may absolutely arrest both parties. In Georgia, both parties are arrested whenever a domestic is called, if an arrest is necessary. And yeah, some of them may end up being hard asses, and some of them may have some sort of personal issue or whatever the case may be, and they may want to make an arrest. And if that's the case, then you really have the right to remain silent. Because think about this, and maybe this is something that lay people don't know, so let me fill you in real quick. Everything that you say before, well, can be admissible, although it can be thrown out as well, depending on the stage of the interrogation. Okay, let me back up and give you an example. Depending on what stage of interrogation you are in, depends on what your rights are. For example, let's use a real basic example of not necessarily in the BDSM world, although it could be. You're walking down the street. You and your sweetheart are walking down the street. Police walks up to you, asks for your ID, which, by the way, they have the right to do. You produce your IDs, and they're asking you a couple of questions. Let's just say one of the two of you fits the description, you know what I mean? And they're just casually talking to you. Okay, you're not under arrest at that point. You know, they haven't said, you know, you're under arrest. So you're just answering questions. Of course, you should always be very wary of what it is that you say, short, concise, truthful answers. However, if at some point, say, for instance, the officer backs you up against their car and they say, you know, put your hands on the car, blah, 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 they go to search you. Well, at that point, if you don't feel free to leave, they should Mirandize you. If at any point you're speaking to a police officer and you feel like your liberty has been taken away from you, that is the legal definition of being under arrest. And anything that you say after that, if they have not Mirandized you, gets thrown out. Now, if they give you your Miranda rights, you have the right to remain silent. Anything that you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. Then it goes into the rights of an attorney. If you open your mouth after Miranda, you're an idiot. You have the right to remain silent. Use it. Use the words. And by the way, at any point in time before or after Miranda, if you don't feel like you want to talk to them anymore, use these words. I want a lawyer. You know, you see that on Law and Order all the time on the television. That's actually true. If you quote unquote lawyer up, they are not allowed. They are not allowed to continue to speak to you. And anything that they say after that, you could end up confessing to every murder on the planet and it doesn't matter. Because you asked for the protection of an attorney, and if they don't give it to you, then out. But if at any point in time that they're questioning you, you know, like say, you know, let's bring it into our world example. You're at Frolicon. Cops bust in. They go behind the curtain. For those of you who have never been to Frolicon, there's a curtain that hangs up where in front of the curtain it's considered public, and, you know, you're to be at least legally covered and not do any sort of lewd and lascivious acts. But once you go behind the curtain, you know,
anything goes.
And that's kind of like it becomes the private dungeon at that point, you know, theoretically. So the cops come in, you know, and they're sitting there questioning you. If you do not feel like you can just walk away from that conversation, then it can argue, the argument can be made in court that you are under arrest. And so that is whenever they should Mirandize you. And at that point, it gets kind of hinky as far as whether or not you say is admissible. That's why I was kind of stumbling over my words a while ago, is that, you know, in my lawyer's brain, I'm like, okay, I know this. But I forget sometimes I have to explain it, and I don't mind doing that.
If you're feeling it going south on you, it's time to be quiet.
Absolutely time to be quiet. And if you really want to shut them up, tell them you want to speak to your attorney.
Now, do they need to have a complaining witness to proceed with a case?
What kind of case?
Assault case. That's what we're... Everything we do boils down to assault of some form or fashion. Is there a need for a complaining witness for them to proceed, or can they proceed on their own?
In other words, if your submissive or slave said, no, he or she did not assault or batter me, can they still press charges? And that is up to the DA or the prosecutor or the solicitor.
Which means you're already into hot water.
It's entirely possible. Yeah. So there's a lot of jurisdictions, especially if it is a domestic. There's a lot of jurisdictions where they will absolutely insist on going through with the charges, even if the complaining witness does not want to press charges. Because, you know, there's a lot of people who get intimidated and they end up not wanting to press charges. And so they say it's in the public interest to go ahead and press those charges nonetheless.
And that is the two-edged sword. The domestic laws have been beefed up to wonderful effect in this country. But that catches BDSM in many cases at a disadvantage.
Absolutely.
Most of the time, will they leave your hotel room or will they proceed? What's the typical outcome here? That they come and tell you to keep the noise down?
Well, I am going to give you the lawyer's answer. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
It depends. It depends on why they were called in the first place. It depends on how much they heard on that phone call. It depends on why it was they were called. Again, whether it's domestic, whether it was noise disturbance, you know, whatever the case may be. You know, because that's another thing. Don't think that if they come to your door that, you know, all hell and damnation's about to rain down on your head. Maybe somebody just called because your TV was too loud. Or maybe they thought you were playing a movie and the noises that was coming from the happy fun time you were having. Maybe they thought it was a movie. Maybe they thought it was 50 Shades. And they just, you know, wanted to have the noise turned down. And maybe they called management in the hotel and management didn't respond at all. And so they wanted somebody to, they didn't want to walk next door, you know, at the risk of getting injured, hurt, or shot or something. So they called the police. Never think worst case scenario. And I know it's really hard not to do that when you're in a situation like that, because the adrenaline is pumping and you're nervous and, you know, a lot of people. I mean, gosh, unless you are or have been involved with law enforcement, attorneys, judges, something like that, it's very intimidating to a layperson, which is why I will go and give this exact same talk to whoever will listen ad nauseum, because I'm telling you right now, as long as you know your rights, you have absolutely nothing to be afraid of, and let them do what it is they're going to do, and it will absolutely get sorted out in the end. I just read a text message that I got. One of the gentlemen who is rooming with me at the moment is a private investigator, and he heard me talking about what it was we were talking about, and in regards to, do you have to have consent on both parties' ends in order to record? And he says that that Georgia is a one-party state. So in Georgia, apparently, you only have to have consent of one person in order to record.
So if you're involved in the conversation, you can record the conversation for yourself.
In Georgia.
In Georgia.
Yes. He's also told me that the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that it's legal in all states to record police officers on duty. He's a former police officer, so he should know. I cannot 100% vouch for the veracity of that. But you know what? If you want to look it up, that's entirely possible. I seem to remember hearing something like that.
And I am come back to saying knowledge is power.
Absolutely. And you know, that's another thing. And I tell people this all the time in my discussions. I'm a human being, believe it or not. I know it's so hard to believe, especially with that glowing introduction in the last segment. But I am human. My knowledge is absolutely by no means, you know, perfect. And so if you have any questions, then feel free to look it up for yourself. There's a lot of legal resources that are out there. The NCSF is a good one. Flexyourrights.org, flexyourrights.org. Wonderful website for answering these questions. They have a frequently asked questions section that addresses what happens whenever you're pulled over. Now, this is in a vanilla sense, but still, the laws still apply. What happens if the police come to your door, et cetera, et cetera. And if you ever have a question, you can always contact me on FetLife. I'm Attorney Lady Steele, just like it sounds. And Steele is spelled with three E's, not all in a row, S-T-E-E-L-E. And let them know that you've listened to this podcast. You have a few questions. I'll be more than glad to answer them for you.
And I'm sure that our listeners appreciate that.
Sure. Absolutely. My pleasure.
It's been great having you.
Well, I'm so glad to be here. It was a lot of fun.
There's so much great information that you gave out to here today, and our listeners really need to understand what we're into and how to deal with it. And a lot of people are just kind of Pollyannas about this, and they just wander around and go, oh, it's just fun.
Oh, they do. And especially since a lot of, you know, I'm not going to disclose my age necessarily, but I came up at a time whenever what it is that we do was still taught word of mouth. You know, it was still passed down from person to person. There was no internet. And so you know, we had a lot of safeguards back then that people don't practice now because they think that if they can find it on the internet, you know, in other words, if you don't find it on the dark web, then it's legal, right? No. No, not necessarily. You know, and it also fascinates me. I've done this discussion again a lot, and I was at the Atlanta Eagle. I think this was April whenever I did this presentation. And, you know, it's fascinating to me when I go from crowd to crowd, you know, how the questions differ. Like, you know, Frolicon is full of a lot of people who are in the BDSM lifestyle, a little bit of leather and a lot of kinksters. And, you know, they have very distinctive sets of questions. Got a lot of polyamorous people there, you know, and they have a lot of questions. But whenever you went to the Atlanta Eagle, it's a traditionally gay leather bar. And whenever I was there, I was asked a lot of unique questions that I never really thought about. For example, they asked me about liability as far as heteroserous people, meaning if you're HIV positive and your partner is not, what is your responsibility to disclose? And I got questions like, are jello shots considered a violation of the open container law if you have them in your car? You know, I just love doing this presentation because you get all different sorts of questions from all different sorts of people in every walk of life. It's absolutely a joy for me.
Well, we are blessed as a community to have people like you that are getting out there and helping educate and give that knowledge to people to hopefully be safe and trouble free.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you saying that. And it's my pleasure to do it. Anytime you want to have me back, just let me know because I can talk about polyamorous relationships in the law. I can talk about the new changes in the laws after marriage equality has come about and what's next, you know, for people and what our future may possibly look like as a result of those changes.
We will definitely have you back.
Listeners, we've been listening to Lady Steele out of Atlanta and talking about BDSM and the law. Be sure to check out both episodes A and B of this podcast.
Do you have a website, Sarah?
I have several. Again, Attorney Lady Steele on FetLife. My professional page is Avraham, the spelling of my last name, which is A-V as in Victor, RAHAMLAW.com. So AvrahamLaw.com. And I also, if you don't mind, would like to plug the radio show that I do weekly. It's on Blog Talk Radio, and it's basically, it's the legal show. You can go to blogtalkradio.com and Google, you know, Bennett Pomerantz's network and the legal show. And I'm talking about all sorts of legal discussions on there. I mean, I would say we don't do BDSM, but that's not true. We actually did have one BDSM couple on there one time or talked about them. But yeah, we talk about all sorts of different things in the law. So if you just like to hear me yammer on, then please go over to Blog Talk Radio and check us out. Would love to hear from you all.
You have been listening to episode 79B of the Kinky Cast. The Kinky Cast is a production of Rooster in the Round. On behalf of Woody, the Beast, and all our Kinky crew, I'm Max. See you next week when we have Inixia with her journey as a femdom in the younger generation.